I'd like to call to order our city council meeting. It is June the 3rd, 2013, and it is 6:31. And I'd like it if everyone could stand, first of all. And I wanted to ask you to observe a moment of silence. This is something I've mentioned before. I have a little neighbor who is 8 years old, Sammy Jeffers, and he has a form of brain cancer that's inoperable, and he hasn't been doing too well. So I wanted to just observe a moment of silence for Sammy Jeffers and his family. Thank you. Thank you. And we did have someone scheduled to do our flag salute tonight, but they don't seem to be here just now. So I'm going to ask our newest council member to do the flag salute for us. Thanks, Glenn.
Repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do I get the candy?
You can have the highlighters.
All the school supplies.
That's right. We'll give them a rain check. Maybe they'll be here next time. And I wonder, City Clerk, could you give us a roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. We have we receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. And then by motion, we'll adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. Anybody have any changes tonight? No? All righty.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. We will go as planned. And ceremonial this evening, we have a proclamation declaring June 3rd and 4th, 2013, as Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run Days. And I believe Chief Copsey is going to come get this one. So I'll do it from here, Chief. And then are you going to say something afterwards as well? Okay, great. Whereas each year law enforcement officers join together to run the Special Olympics torch throughout San Luis Obispo County, and whereas hundreds of thousands of law enforcement officers give their time to protect our communities every day, and whereas hundreds of thousands of athletes participate in Special Olympics activities annually, and whereas the efforts of countless volunteers make Special Olympics possible, and whereas on June 3rd and 4th, 2013, law enforcement officers will carry the Special Olympics torch through the San Luis Obispo County, throughout San Luis Obispo County, and send it on its way down to California State University at Long Beach to open the Special Olympics of Southern California Summer Games. And whereas at this year's meet, many of our area's finest young people and adults will be competing in a variety of sports, enjoying the joy of athletic competition and learning the importance of doing one's best in a spirit of sportsmanship, now therefore be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim June 3rd and 4th, 2013 as Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run Days, acknowledges the hard work of the event organizer, and congratulates the athletes and officers on their accomplishments.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. And the torch run is actually tomorrow morning, June 4th, and Pismo Beach will be handing off the torch to our police department about 8:30 in the morning at the Pismo Coast Village. So please come on and join us there. It's usually a pretty good event, although tomorrow I think it'll be a little foggy. About 8:20, they should show up depending on how slow they run. And then we carry the torch up and we hand it off to Royal Grandy. Thank you for that. And come on down in the morning if you want to be with us.
Thank you. One more thing, Chief. Who's running?
Well, we have quite a group. Mm-hmm. I won't be running because I have bad knees, but I will be biking. And we have several of our officers. I think Martin is going to run with us, our city attorney.
Wow.
We have a couple citizens that will run with us. Our Parks and Recreation, Kathy Pecker, is going to run with us. Typically, Bob does. This year, he's not, but he'll be with us in spirit, I'm sure.
That's great.
So anybody's welcome to come run with us and be part of the fun. So.
Any other questions of the chief before he Hands off.
Just wanted to express thanks for the work that you did at Tippecanoe. Unfortunately, I was not placed at the table that you were serving, but he did come over and take care of us on occasion just to make sure that those members of the Sheriff's Department that were assigned to our table were doing a good job.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks very much. And we're going to now go into public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. We will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on items not on the agenda. So I'm going to open for public comment. Is there anyone who'd like to come forward?
Well, you know, I do. Bring a smile to you all. I know you worked hard. You need to come in and say hi. My name is Edie Hatton. I live in Grover Beach. Been here for like 22 years or so. Anyway,
Edie, could you pull the microphone down a little bit?
You want me
you can't believe we can't hear you.
You really can't hear my loud voice? Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Anyway, I'm really going to tie things up because I'm trying to get Gage going, and I don't know if I'm going with him right away, but I may have to stay behind, but I'm still trying to do all the things that we needed to do while he was here. Now he's 21, so we're kind of doing a lot of work. Our promotional video has been done. We've been doing that now for about 4 years, and my daughter finally finished it off, and it would be all, it's been taken down to San Jose, it's gone. And so, and then we have a journal that's on progress. But we send out we emailed the flyers that we send out. All this has been done by the 1st of May. So all my promotional stuff for Grover Beach, with the assistance of all my business and community friends. You know, so we went around and took care of all those people. We're doing a lot of showing of all the projects that, starting with Cynthia and her. The only thing that I have left to do now is really basically work with Bob on the money for the senior, for the homeless people, try to find a place for them so they don't get in trouble and being hanging around and, you know, talking to customers when they're not supposed to. You know that we also have one of our ladies that was in a terrible accident a couple of Wednesdays ago at the got hit by a train. So I'm not going to mention names, but everyone that read the news knows about it. And so anyway, that's about it. So that's all I have to say. I'm just touching up, you know, like you do an artist thing, and you just kind of go along and touch it up. And I have confidence that whatever we have done here and left to be done, that anyone else that has started on and jumped on the train and want to do whatever we were doing before, just promoting Grover Beach, I'm praying for them. So hopefully they will stay with it and hang in there and keep on going.
Thank you. And you did it in 3 minutes.
God bless you all. I'll be back. I'll be here to hear what's going on.
You got to come say goodbye before you go.
Oh, no. If I don't go, I'll
be good. Anybody else from the public want to come forward? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close public comment. And we're going to now move into public communications. And this is the time where, that's what we've just done, our public hearings. And our first public hearing is going to be the 2013 weed abatement protest hearing. And our battalion chief, Heath, is going to present that.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, City Council members. Ricky Heath, Five Cities Fire Authority. The Five Cities Fire Authority has completed inspections of all the properties throughout the city of Grover Beach, and we've identified 84 properties that are still in violation, and we've mailed letters to those 84 property owners. Tonight's the protest hearing for anybody that was mailed a letter that they feel that they're not in violation. After tonight, 30 days from tonight, we'll begin to clear lots. July 2nd, we'll go out and begin our reinspection of the properties throughout the city of Grover Beach. And then July 3rd, the contractor will go out and clear the lots. The cost for
by the city of Grover Beach.
I can respond to
okay.
that.
Thank you.
If the
that both of those parcel numbers
relate to Cleaver Park, and they were placed there before, and this staff report was written. So they were placed on the list. If anybody's been by there recently, you'll notice that Cleaver Park has been done. So realistically, they should be removed from the list.
Okay, so some of these other properties that I might have driven by that look like they're not in violation, they have already been cleaned up. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yeah, the only question I have is the list this year. It seems like it's a little longer than it has been in the past. Yes. Is that right?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And I'm not certain what the difference is this year. Last year we went out with the engine companies and did the inspections, which seemed really inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And this year we had a volunteer go out. Well, not particularly a volunteer, but we hired somebody to go out and do the list.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, thank you. I just thought it was a little unusual that it was longer than usual. Thank you.
Any questions? Any others?
Just Chief Heath, just out of curiosity, for a typical, let's say, 5,000 square foot residential lot, what sort of costs are the folks and could they be anticipating?
Well, I was trying to figure that out myself because I know that Councilman Nichols, he once asked me that question. I always try to prepare for that. But from what I could tell is a lot that's 50 by 150. The contractor will charge $55 to clear that lot. And then on top of that is the admin fees. The Grove Beach fee schedule talks about direct and indirect costs. Divide that by the number of lots being abated. And then the Five Cities Fire Authority puts on an 18% on top of that.
Okay.
So.
Good. Thank you.
Sure. Roughly last year was somewhere around $230.
$230,
if I recall.
Okay.
Good. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
What I'll do then, now that we've asked our questions, is you can have a seat, and we'll open the public hearing and see if there's any, if we do have any protests, and take it from there.
Okay. Okay,
so I'm going to open to public comment. Is there anyone from the second by Councilmember Marshall? And this is a roll call. Before we do roll call, though, I just wanted to ask the members of the public, if you've got a lot out there that has grass on it, whether or not they caught you, I'd like to make a special request that you mow them quickly and mow them well. This is a drought season. We're already getting fires all over the country. So Do all your favors, all your neighbors a favor, please, and yourself, and mow those lots quickly. Thank you. Okay, now we'll do a roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So that was unanimous. And the next public hearing item is consideration of formal adoption of the fiscal year 14 budget. And City Manager Perrault is going to present that.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, it's indeed a pleasure to be able to present to you this document for formal review and deliberation. As the council will recall, during our last meeting, the council received the budget itself and a overview of the budget and a status report on each of the budget's major funds. Then the council, at the conclusion of that discussion, the council set this meeting as the time for actual public hearing and deliberation. As noted in the presentation last time, the combined budget has revenues of $15,486,667 and combined expenditure level of $15,402,514. So from a revenue and appropriations standpoint, we're balanced. The council also should note that last April you adopted the goals and work program. It consisted of a number of tasks to be carried out during the budget year, and the goals and the work program actually served as the direction for the development of the documents that are being presented to you tonight. In terms of the documents, just by way of how they're organized, the document itself was distributed to you during the last meeting. First section is the citywide budget. The second is the general fund. Third is the special revenue funds. Fourth are the interest. The general fund is concerned. The revenues are as budgeted, total $7,269,104, with expenditures of $7,356,032. This is a deficit of $86,928, and I, by reference, would like to remind you that it's significantly lower than what we faced at the same time last year. Last year, that deficit was much closer to $300,000. Staff is currently completing the meet and confer process, and that will, in essence, impact personnel expenditures not only in the general fund, but across the board. We would expect with the general fund, I'm fairly optimistic the meet and confer process will assist us in coming up with a balanced budget for the general fund. The FY14 budget is being recommended for approval today. However, we did want to let you know that we will come back later this summer with additional revisions. Those revisions will be necessary because of the completion of the meet and confer process. Additionally, we know that there are a few items that are outstanding that we expect we'll know a little bit more about as we get into the summer months. A couple of those items will include the impact specifically for the Affordable Care Act will be impacted to some degree by the implementation of the act during FY14, and as noted, I already know that the five cities fire authority is going to deal with that issue and probably will also require some adjustments at a later date. CDBG, as you'll recall, is in the process of our application is in the process of being reviewed at the state level. And it is likely, depending on how CDBG comes out, we will again need to revise the budget. We had requested funds for a number of programs, including water infrastructure, water line replacement program. If we do receive those funds, we would be able to get more work done and have additional funds to do it with. In terms of CDBG, we also requested funding for an economic development strategy, the update of our current strategy. It has not been updated since 2009. Also, we need to update the housing fund this year, and we had requested funds to do that. Should those funds be denied, we'll need to come back and adjust the budget to incorporate those expenditures. And additionally, we expect that we'll be adding in some work experience numbers a little bit later in the summer as well. Budget for the general fund. We will have met our minimum requirements for the reserve. It's important to note that the overall goal for the reserves is higher than this. It's a little bit closer to $2.9 million, and we're certainly a long ways from reaching that goal. In looking at this budget, certainly you do have the option of using reserves to cover the deficit or any other expenditure, but I do want to point out that staff does not recommend that it is prudent to use reserves to balance the budget. At this point, it can often set a difficult precedent, and we certainly don't want to get into a practice of using those reserves because they can become very, very important to us when we get into difficult times or experience unexpected expenditures in the future. The other items I'd like to have you keep in mind. The general fund contains funding for a number of organizations. These include the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce at $5,000, the Economic Vitality Corporation of San Luis Obispo County at $5,000, the San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund at $5,000, and the Visit SLO County at $5,443 for the membership and an additional $5,000 for Savor the Central Coast event. Notices were sent to the organizations regarding this intended action. And we do have representatives from a couple of the groups here this evening that most likely will want to address you. In fact, I think I see three groups out there at the present time. My suggestion is that you dedicate part of your public hearing to receiving that presentation. During the initial presentation of the budget, council members were requested to submit questions. I want to let you know it was very appreciated, the number of questions we received. There were approximately 30 questions. The answers to those questions are contained in the back of the report and certainly are available for us to further discuss should you choose. The recommended order of action for this evening is to receive this presentation. You have is to complete the deliberation process, provide staff with direction, and continue this item to the next regularly scheduled council meeting, at which time it would be presented for adoption. That's another option that you have. Or simply, you can provide staff with additional direction. As I've noted, it is recommended the City Council receive the public comments and then adopt the budget as presented with a list of resolutions. The fiscal impact for this is obviously you're setting the plan, the fiscal and resource plan as to how we're going to get our work done for the coming year. And so it's a very, very important document to be moving forward with. Staff, as I've mentioned, is pleased to be able to present the document in what I consider to be a timely fashion. I await any of your initial comments and then I would suggest that you proceed with the public hearing.
Thank you. That was a good report. And I appreciate especially that you we got our priorities in order and then we worked the budget around the priorities. That's excellent. And I noticed that a lot of the individual departments had their list of priorities and activities and their mission statement along with that. So that really helps us stay focused. So thank you for that. That was well done. I'm going to open this now for public comment. And what I would like to do to keep things as less, at least confused as possible, is to do them in alphabetical order and in the order that they're presented in the budget so that if we're trying to follow along, we can stay on track there. And then if there is anyone from the public who wants to come forward, I'll have them come forward after we hear the reports from the various parties who will be funded, hopefully. And so I'd like to start actually with the Arroyo Grande Chamber of Commerce and see if you had anything you wanted to say this evening.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Holly Wogan. I'm the Director of Sales for the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce. And we are requesting this amount of money for a few reasons. This $5,000 will help us increase the amount spent on talent, better signage, various advertising, especially in the areas of radio and web-based marketing, targeting the Central Valley and Southern California, plus Amtrak musical genres. And we are focusing on making the event more fun with a Mardi Gras-style parade on Sunday morning through the event, followed by a doggy parade, which we're going to ask a dollar a dog and then donate the proceeds to the Five Cities Dog Park for dog toys. We've also rounded out Sunday by adding an art show in the Ramona Garden Center, and we think this is the year to go big or go home. We are hoping you can support what is a big year for the signature event for Grover Beach. And that is about all I have to say.
Could you tell us what this event is?
For those of you who might not know, this is a two-day musical event that is free to the attendees, and it is based on the legend of Stone Soup, which in a nutshell is the community coming together, all walks of life coming together to support one another, help one another, especially in trying times, which is definitely something that we have all seen in the last several years. So this is, we have a local stage, which is in the Ramona Garden area in the amphitheater, where the children's toys, bouncy houses, things like that will be. And then we have the main stage, which is the Amtrak's sponsored stage this year. So that's the big names that we're drawing in from out of the area.
And this has traditionally been a Chamber of Commerce City mutual event. I know the police and all the volunteers and public works all come out and work with us.
Yes. And this is actually, since the two chambers have merged, this is our first year really have an influence and try and make an impact and draw people into this, because there are so many people that live in this area, my sister and brother-in-law included, who have lived here 30 years and never heard of it or been to it.
Great. So stay there. Does anyone from the council have any questions, comments on this?
I just had one quick one. So, and I may have misunderstood the reference somewhere along the line, but thank you for your presentation. Does the $5,000, does that include membership for the city into the chamber?
Actually, the membership is $350, and that would be included under another portion of the budget.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll ask the next presenter to come up. In fact, actually, it would have been the Economic Vitality Corporation, but I believe that they're coming next meeting, because they were out of town or something tonight. So it would, in fact, be the San Luis Obispo Housing Trust Fund, Jerry Ryu, who even gave me a...
County. We're currently in our 10th year. We will have been operating 10 years on October 1st. To date, we've made $9 million in loans to assist 269 units of affordable housing that had a total budget of over $70 million. We also have over $2.5 million committed for new loans. We've really been active over the last year. There's been a lot of activity as the economy has improved, and we're helping affordable housing get built in a very, very difficult environment. We've had excellent success getting state, federal, and private funds for our loan fund. Actually, we've received more than $3.9 million over the last 4 years for our loan fund, but none of that money can be used for operations. So each year we have a difficult time covering our operating costs. You have been one of our staunchest supporters, both financially and through participating on our loan fund, and I hope that you will continue doing that again this year.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
I do. Please. Actually, you know, Jerry, now that I sit on the board or the committee, I didn't really understand that Grover Beach had been quite a major benefactor of the Housing Trust Fund. Could you talk to that just a little bit, please?
Sure. Well, we worked with the Women's Shelter Program and helped them to plan for the acquisition of 4 units of transitional housing for households who've experienced domestic violence. So we worked with them to develop a plan, identify funds, prepare an application for a state grant. We provided a bridge loan so that they could buy it instead of having to wait in escrow until the state finally funded. And then when the state funded it, we received the funds back. We've also worked with your staff.
Long Branch and Fifth or Sixth.
Habitat
for Humanity. Got the wrong organization.
Actually, I identified that site and worked with your staff at the time to identify a number of sites that could be used by Habitat, and they finally chose that one, and I was glad that they could develop it. We didn't participate financially in it. They generally like to build with grants rather than loans, and I don't blame them for that.
Oh, that's great.
Well,
any other
you.
Questions? No? Okay.
Thank you,
Jerry.
Thank you.
So alphabetically, now we have Visit SLO County, and we have two representatives from Visit SLO County.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council Members. My name is Paul Sloan. I am the Director of Sales and Marketing for Visit San Luis Obispo County. I'm here this evening with my colleague, Faith Wells, who will speak with us also this evening.
Yeah, I'm Faith Wells. I'm the Event Director for Sunset Saver, the Central Coast, actually for Visit San Luis Obispo County.
Be sure you get right up to the mic so everybody can hear you.
Hi, I'm Faith Wells with Visit San Luis Obispo County. I'm the Event Director there with my primary focus on Sunset Saver, the Central Coast. I think Paul's going to talk to you a little bit about what we're doing at Visit San Luis Obispo County, and then I'll speak to you about Saver quick, briefly.
We've prepared a brief presentation with some overview points. The first, I just wanted to point out that the office has rebranded to be now called Visit San Luis Obispo County. This is keeping in line with the trend among tourism organizations. For example, the state, formerly the CTTC, is now Visit California. And likewise, we are following in sync with that by changing the name as well as the brand. Mm-hmm. We have a number of actions in public relations and marketing, and just highlighting a few of them, such as the program with Silverado buses that have been wrapped with the brand and iconic imageries of our destination. We have two of these buses traveling twice a day between San Luis Obispo and Los Angeles, one on the 101 and one on I-5 up and down, sharing the message about our destination. This you have in front of you, this is our visitor's guide from 2013 with the theme of pure play, although we heard that some council members don't have time for pure play, but we'd like to take the time. These are distributed throughout the California Welcome Centers. 45,000 copies are printed this year, which is an increase from 40,000 last year. They're also distributed at airports and in corporate offices in Los Angeles, which is a primary demographic for us to go after. By placing it, it's sort of month in the shoulder season. And making it a big promotion. It's worked very well. And these are just some of the materials that we've used to present that. And it's been, the next slide shows some of the participants that we had and the media partners working with Open Table, which is an online reservations program for making reservations at restaurants, as well as some of the marketing and media partners that we've had. Nine communities participated with new members, and it's a great program. Along the lines, in April, we had also our pets need to play. So we had bringing your pets along for playing in San Luis Obispo County with our dog-friendly campaign in April. We have a lot of dog-friendly hotels and places up here. And we held a dog-friendly dog photo contest on the next slide. We had 96 entries, and the winner received a San Luis Obispo County Ultimate Stay Package where they could come with their pets. And as part of this campaign, on the next slide, we did a dog-friendly fam in April where we brought journalists who traveled with their dogs so they could experience firsthand what it's like to travel with your dog to come up and experience the destination. They visited they visited wineries, they stayed in hotels, and they had a campfire picnic on the beach, at Grover Beach here as well, and they enjoyed it very much. We're very involved with social media. This is just an overview of some of the statistics that are always being updated. This is from April, and just in May, we added another over 1,000 more likes to our fan base on Facebook. We have over 10,000 now. And on group sales, this is an area that we're very involved with. We work with organizations such as the California Society of Association Executives, CalSAE, Smart Meetings and whatnot, to work on with professional and corporate plant meetings planners. And this is a long-term, you have a long-term lead time in developing this market. And so we're building the platform now as your meeting and conference facilities come online in the not-too-distant future. We're working to build that platform now because that's something they plan 1, 2, and 3 years downrange from where we are today. As far as other things we're doing, we'll be at International Powwow next week, which is a trade show, appointment-based, where we work to meet with international and domestic tour operators that bring in groups to our destination, and we'll be there with a number of partners as well. The next slide shows where our booth is located, a double booth. We're working with the Central Coast Tourism Council, the CCTC, so the whole aisle is San Luis Obispo County with Monterey and Santa Barbara, and we've all sort of co-branded the color scheme of the aisle, and in the middle is a black carpet with a white dotted line. So it's along the California highways, the iconic road trip along the California Central Coast. We also have the Film Commission in our office, which has become very active. It was a bit of a... This is a television show that was filmed here, Top Gear USA. They shot in Paso Robles and on the dunes. And this is a program which has a viewership of over 60 million. So it's quite a substantial show. And so this the Film Commission has a great opportunity to bring visibility to our destination. The website, we'll be launching our brand new website in about 2 weeks. And it's beautiful design. Again, highlighting the pure play, the things to do along the coast. It's going to be a wonderful website. And just a few quick slides here. Each community has its own section. The website is designed to be a portal for the county, which will drive traffic to each of the local areas. So we position ourselves as being leveraging what the communities can do locally. And this is something that can be managed by communities, so you can manage the content as well as the information and links to your local suppliers and vendors. The events section, statistics show us, is the most highly visited area of the website. So this will be a very active place as well. And each property, actually, the next one, each property will also have their own profile. They can upload images, contents, and all of this links actively to people's their own websites and whatnot. Strategic partnerships, this is something that we work on. This is a key role that we will have in working with you to reach outward beyond the resources of the local communities. Working with Brand USA, we recently completed a fam trip where they had travel agents come in from the UK that we worked with. Central Coast, as I mentioned, we'll be doing with the CCTC at Powwow. In July, we'll be going to Canada on a sales mission with Visit California to meet with industry and media and promote the destination here in Montreal and Toronto and Vancouver. And locally here, we work with on projects like with the EBC and the airport to work to bring in additional lift and flights from key source markets, which is very important for both the business and the leisure communities. And on sponsorship opportunities, I'm going to turn this over to Faith.
Thank you.
Hello. I will, again, I'm here to talk to you guys about Sunset Saver the Central Coast. I'm going to give a brief recap on 2012, and thank you for being our partner with us over the last couple years, and I hope that you will join us again this year. Last year, just some quick numbers, we saw roughly about 10,000 people throughout the entire weekend. That is ticket holders that came to the event and joined us at Hearst Castle. They joined us in Pismo Beach. They joined us at the ranch and through adventure tours. One of the really great pieces about this event is it does bring in $3.58 million in the economic impact into the region. That's a 22% increase from 2011. And we're seeing, let you know that our demographic is the 45 to 64-year-old group. Their household income is over $100,000, which is great. So you can see 60% of the folks coming do have an income of $100,000 or more. On media coverage, we hit everything. That is our goal, is to try to get everywhere. And as you can see, we had some really wonderful coverage last year with total impressions of 304 million, and we just are continuing to count those and working really hard with our PR team out of Los Angeles and San Francisco. They have feelers in both areas to help us continue that. Social media also is a big part of our marketing plan. We have sweepstakes and contests that happen on our social media outlets, along with truly growing our fan base. And as Paul mentioned earlier, with Visit San Luis Obispo Saver, we have also been increasing our fan base. We went about over 1,000 in the last month as well. So we're really working on that area. The schedules of events this year, I'm going to briefly run through this, but you're going to see lots of new changes and additions to the event. Really excited to let you know that the adventure tours, which are the hands-on, small, intimate opportunities for guests to get out into the farms and into the beaches and everywhere throughout our county. There are about 40 people max. We are going to test those by having those events on Thursday this year, three of them, to truly kick off to get people into town early. And actually, they are close to selling out, which is really exciting to see. On Thursday night, we will head up to Hearst Castle for our opening night, which is called Sunset at Hearst Castle. You're going to notice a change in all the names this year, too, to give it a nice cohesive feel with the event. And you'll also notice you have a pamphlet in front of you, but our theme this year is Time to Play, again, bringing that cohesiveness with our county.
Friday, we have 9 adventure tours that will be taking place. And then Saturday or Friday night, we'll be headed to Pismo for a small dinner for 250 people, family style, with Central Coast chefs. And hopefully, and then our guest chef, Michael Vitaggio, will be making an appearance as well. And then on Saturday and Sunday is the main event at Santa Margarita Ranch. And here, the event times this year have changed. We're starting at 11. This allows people that are here in town to have a little bit more time in the community. This means, you know, they can have breakfast, they can leisure a little bit longer, go for walks, really take in some shopping before coming down to the event or up to the event. We will again have seminars that feature celebrity chefs nationally and locally, and our Winemaker Central, which highlights wines from throughout the Central Coast and internationally due to our partnership with Sunset Magazine. And then we'll have demonstrations. We have their item, which is a 5 and 10K run walk in the city of San Luis Obispo. So we're really excited about both all those new additions. What I'm here today to talk to you guys about is the opportunity and how Grover Beach can be part of SAVOR. We, again, would love you to be our train partner with us. And with that, you would also receive a 10x10 space within our Central Coast Pavilion, and that's where all of our cities are. And it's an opportunity to truly showcase the Central Coast and allow everyone to come together in a cohesive feel. And we are working with our vision coordinator, who's new for this year, Jolie Kazir, who some of you may have met last year within that pavilion. She has joined us, and she'll be reaching out in the next couple weeks as we start to truly get that plan together. And then as part of the train sponsor, right here you can see this lovely train is at Santa Margarita Ranch. And this is what we like to have you be partners with us. We also would like to note that Car Free Slow will be right next door at the train entrance as well, because we know that's a really great piece. And here are the benefits you receive. Weekend passes, you get your name listed on the all the collateral that we have out there in the event program, the thank you ad, and the website, booth space within the pavilion. You get to be our train partner, and there's again you can purchase additional passes with a special discount code. With that, I'm done. So
thank you. That was a lot. Yeah. So we may call you forward again. Are there questions from the council?
I have two brief questions. One of them may be for Paul. One of them might be for either one of you. I've been on the Visit Slow committee for a couple months now, and I still don't know what a FAM means.
FAM is familiarization trip.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Great. And then just a clarification, the Holiday Inn Express is a dog-friendly park, a dog-friendly hotel, if I remember correctly, right? So I just want to...
That's our Grover Beach Holiday Inn Express?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I think
great.
I saw that on the website, so just anybody out there listening, feel free to be part of the dog-friendly group. And then just one last question for you was the budget for SAVOR has been getting refined and kind of yes. been getting real real tight. And while the experiences have been escalating. And so I think that's a testament to the partnership that's been going on between all the cities and the county. Mm-hmm. Is there any updates or anything with regards to where that budget is? Are you on track for the event?
Yeah, you know, my goal is to be on track. So
questions.
One question for maybe Paul. The website presentation, I guess you have an interactive website, and as part of the, I guess, the annual fee or cost, the $5,000, do all the businesses in Grover get access to that website? They can post there?
Yes, as part of the community, yeah. Okay. There's memberships that, you have different levels of access depending on where they are, but absolutely, yeah.
And then there's no charge to the businesses to use that?
It depends on exactly how the membership and what type of businesses they are, but as far as the community, it can be a portal that leads to the community where all of those businesses can be. But it's a touristically based and targeted website. So if you have businesses that may not be what a tourist might be looking for, I'm not sure what that might be, if they're looking for plumbers or something like that. Right. Maybe that might not be the place for them. But it's definitely an open portal for the community.
Okay.
If that answers your question.
I think I might have to get online.
Oh, yeah?
Great. Thanks.
Any other questions?
No.
I have none.
I had just one. I noticed when you had the Savor the Central Coast event slide up there, it looked to me like the main event was only happening on Saturday. Is that right?
No.
It'll be both days?
Yeah, it's on both days. When you look at that slide, we kind of merged, so you saw Saturday, Sunday together. But both days, absolutely.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you very much for your time this evening. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward and speak? Seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the council. Oops, sorry. Oops, we have one. Open it up again.
No, what I want to say is that what we do here in the community is small scale, what these people do. I think that it's a wonderful thing because those of us have been working on this sort of thing. You know, the seniors here also travel everywhere to go wherever we need to go, right? And we catch the buses here. And so we've been bringing, you know, buses in ourselves. But it's a lot harder for myself and some of the other people that are involved in getting the tours. If you were to hook up with this group, it would be wonderful. I really think that you guys go for it. Yeah, that you need that in Grover Beach. You really need to do that. I work with a lot of people in the community out here, even in Pismo. And, you know, the people that bring their trailers, they come in camp. I know so many because we belong to so many different groups, us seniors. And so when we get together, with how we go, that's how we travel.
Thank you. Okay. That's high
that's
praise.
That's the way to bring them in.
Great. Thanks, Edie. Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the council now. Is there any...
resolution that contains the listing of personnel.
Right.
If you'll look at page 3 of that resolution where it says total permanent full-time positions and there are asterisks that relate back and forth, actually that first asterisk should say that there are 5 maintenance worker positions authorized, but only 3 are filled.
Now, where is this?
That is on resolution, it's attachment 3, page 3.
Attachment 3, okay, thank you.
It should have said maintenance positions. So it doesn't confuse it with the 13 that's shown.
Okay, so can you give that to me one? Can you give that to me one more time, please,
right,
Bob?
If you look at the first asterisk, it should say that there are 5 maintenance worker 2 positions authorized, but only 3 filled at this time due to frozen positions.
Oh, down here. Okay, 5 positions authorized, only 3 filled.
Right, 5 maintenance worker 2 positions authorized, only 3 filled at this time.
Okay.
We would be adding
the words
maintenance worker 2 between 5 and
positions. Thank you. I need a little more help this evening. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council on the budget? I had a few. On question number 10 about the general fund, the public works and utilities overview, there was a comment about conservation work, water conservation program at all public parks. And I just, maybe tonight's not the night to go into that, but I would love to hear more about that at a later date.
Essentially, we had started a water conservation program some time ago to make sure that we're not overwatering. It's really pretty basic. We have talked in the past about possibly eliminating some grass areas and replacing those with more drought-tolerant areas that are less using water, but that's what it's alluding to. The other thing I wanted to make you aware of is that we are using a grant from Pacific Gas and Electric to do some light changes at our tennis courts. The first ones will be at Mentone, and those are will be energy can go. And there was some design work that was done gratis by RRM Design. And essentially what it was to do was to provide an active a recreational area at the very west end of Graham where it dead ends at this particular time. You know, as you're in Pismo Beach, they have some active recreation areas. So the interest was to try and duplicate it. It doesn't change what's going to be done by the Lodge project. This is separate in a...
This would be an addition?
In addition to...
Okay. All right. Well, I take that back then. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. So I wouldn't want to remove it. And on question number 12, the capital improvement program... I'm wondering, we've got talk about a lot of things going on, and I'm wondering, do we have the engineering and the drawings and the plans in place for most of these things at this point?
Well, we do them on a project-by-project basis. And when we're looking at a project, and if Greg is here, maybe he can help me answer this, but you try and attempt to get as much infrastructure under that umbrella as you possibly mm-hmm. can. Sometimes it's dependent by a funding source as to what you can include. But we try and take care of as many issues as we can so we're not doing some work that needs to be redone in later years. Greg, would you like to amplify a bit?
So where I'm going with that is I know that historically we've been really good at having shovel-ready projects so that if we're putting in fiber optic, we might also be able to upgrade whatever water lines we need to upgrade or sewer lines or and then we'll fix the street while we're at it. So we try to do at least kill two birds with the one stone. Right. So my question really, where I'm going with it, is are we all set up to do that so that if we do partner with Digital West to put in fiber optic, we can get some other things done while we're at it, or if we do some of these other things that we can throw in the fiber optic? Are we up to speed on all of that?
Madam Mayor, we look at it basically on at the water, sewer, or adjacent city capital facilities, then we would conversely look at it that way. But primarily, we're looking at it on a case-by-case basis, and we are prepared to do that as that becomes available.
And we can get that engineering done. We either have it done or we can get it done in a time frame that allows us to proceed with things.
Yes, we could. Yes.
Great. Thank you very much. We've been really, really good at doing that. I just want to make sure that we don't lose our impetus on it, that we keep that rolling quickly. Those were all my questions.
Good point.
Thank you. And I wanted to thank all of you, too, for we had 33 questions here, 34 questions, and I know that was hard work for staff, and I think it made for me, it helped me do a lot better in understanding some of the things that I missed because I see them differently. So I know, Jeff, a lot of those were your questions, and you caught a lot of stuff. Well done. And I know Council Mayor Pro Tem Bright has been doing this so long that she managed to find all her own answers. So well done. So if there are no other comments from staff, then this needs to be done, I believe, in a roll call on three separate motions. Would that be correct?
I believe so.
Okay.
I would like to make a comment first.
Sure.
I would like to thank staff. I think city manager had a tremendous idea by asking for these questions in advance. I commend you for it. I think it worked out very well. I've been on the council about 6 years now. This is the first time that that's been done, and I think it's been a tremendous benefit. My compliments to you and your staff. Very good job. Really appreciate it.
And I think even more so that it was done enough in advance that we could put them in the staff report so the public could see the questions too, and then if they had concerns, they could weigh in. And I'm really happy with the way this was done. So I agree. Good job.
I'll concur with that if I might. So just and Bob sat down with me, like I mentioned, on Friday, went through a number of the items, and I know it took some additional time, but I definitely do appreciate that. And I also appreciate the members of the presentations who came forward and gave us an update on what's been happening and how we can help you.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to add to those presentations too. You know, what I'm really amazed by is how much we managed to leverage with how little. You know, the housing of over $9 million going out there, $9 million in loans, and we put in $5,000 a year. And what you do with that money is...
We're not VCB anymore.
Oh, excuse me. Visit San Luis Obispo County. Thank you. I was the old representative. Good. So I'm just waiting for three motions.
So I'll go ahead and move forward and make a motion that we adopt the resolution setting the fiscal year appropriation limit from tax proceeds. And is that the resolution that needs to be amended?
No.
Okay. Then...
So let's do a roll call on that.
We need a second first.
Oh, second. Let's have a second.
I'll second that.
Okay. Moved by Councilmember Lee and seconded by Councilmember Nichols. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 And continuing on, I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution adopting the fiscal year 14 budget.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Lee and seconded by Councilmember Nichols. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 And lastly, I'll recommend that we adopt the resolution as amended, establishing the number of authorized positions for various departments.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Councilmember Lee and Councilmember Bright. Roll call again.
No.
I'm so bright. Gosh, where'd that come from? Excuse me. Mr. Nichols, Councilmember Nichols.
We look so much alike. That's
I know.
Why.
You sound so much alike. Councilmember Nichols, gee. Anyway, we won't discuss that any further. We'll just have a roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. That's great. Good job, everybody. The next thing on our agenda is our consent agenda. And if there's anybody out there in the public or up here on the council that would like to pull anything from that agenda, then we can certainly do that. Is there anyone who wanted to pull anything from the agenda?
No, I wanted to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, only on item 6.
Uh-huh.
I just was very appreciative of the good news on item 6 that it was substantially complete within the contract time and the project cost was approximately $20,000 under budget. So that was good news, and I think that's important that we do hear that and the public hears it as well.
Yes, and thank you, Director Ray. I don't think he even heard you.
Well,
he'll have to watch TV like the rest of us. Okay. So on all these items, we have scheduled for the month of July, and City Manager Peralt is going to weigh in on that.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, this item will be relatively brief. Staff is requesting that council consider altering the meeting schedule for the month of July, specifically canceling the first meeting of July 1st. It is anticipated that canceling this meeting will assist with managing workloads and allow time for coordination of vacation for council and staff. This proposed schedule change will result in some cost savings to the city because every time that we don't have to put out an agenda or a number of staff reports, as well as the TV coverage is also reduced. So there is a savings there. I think in the past we've noted that the savings for not holding the meeting can be at least a minimum of $1,500 to $2,000. So the reality is that we're all working very hard. Usually that first week in July is a vacation week. A lot of people schedule vacations at that time. And the meeting generally isn't well attended. So staff is suggesting that you consider canceling that meeting. It's the same week as the 4th of July. The other cities in the area are considering at least doing some kind of modified schedule during the month of July and August. Our intent would be, again, to meet during the second meeting of July, but also try and keep that meeting to a minimum in terms of working with those items that need to be presented because they're timely and need some kind of formal action. So that completes my staff report, and I'm available to answer any questions regarding changing the schedule.
Thank you. Any questions?
I just had a quick one, unless you're go first. Nope. And it just had to do with a statement in the staff report about the time-sensitive issue for the fire authority.
Yes.
So there's no concerns?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be able to meet that on the 15th. That was the date that was originally covered in their notice, and so we'll be able to meet that obligation.
Okay, great. And one slight other comment. Now, technically, the savings is in this fiscal year's.
That's
Not that I want to make a habit of hollering at me, but... all righty. In that case, then, do we have any staff discussion or a motion on this one? Not staff, excuse me. Council discussion or a motion?
Well, I'll make a motion, then, that we authorize the cancellation, made it my own word there, of the regularly scheduled city council meeting on Monday, July 1st, 2012.
I'll second that.
So a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Bright and a second by Councilmember Lee. This is a voice vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 No opposed? That's unanimous. We will take a break on July 1st. There were no pulled consent agenda items, so the next thing we move to is our council committee reports, and Mayor Pro Tem Bright gets to go first again.
Oh, well.
You always get to go first.
I do, don't I? I'm so lucky. As a matter of fact, I did not have any, I had no council, I had none. So I had no committee meetings, so.
Okay.
As well.
In that case, then, Councilmember Lee.
I didn't have any either.
Wow. In that case, then, Councilmember Marshall.
I had none also.
Man, I get to do all the work. Councilmember Nichols?
No meetings.
Wow, what's going on here? Okay, well, I was busy, so you're just going to make up for it. The Economic Vitality Corporation did meet, and they had one item which I think might be helpful to us in the future. The Chamber of Commerce from the city of Paso Robles came, and they did a report on what they call their North County Business Resource Center, and that's sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. And it was very useful just to know that there's a model out there. If that's something we want to look to in the future in our economic development plans, there's someone doing it well in the county, and we could probably learn from them. I also had a couple of meetings. Visit San Luis Obispo County. I had a really nice meeting with Stacy Jacob, who's the chief executive, and she confirmed what was said out there, that we may be meeting with, we may be sharing our space or co-sponsoring with the Air Pollution Control District's slow car free program, and I'll talk a little more about that later also. And we worked alongside them previously the last 2 years when we've gone down to the National Train Day at Union Station. We've worked alongside them. The beauty of it is that there's a 20% discount on Amtrak if you use the Amtrak means tonight. I'm only going to say it twice. So the APCD, she was really excited about their car-free promotion because she felt like they could use it to promote the Stone Soup Festival, and she's going to do that. So that's another really good connection. APCD, slow car-free people, spoke to the Grover Chamber last year, and I encouraged the new Arroyo Grande Grover Beach Chamber to have them come speak at a meeting. And the gal in charge there, if anybody wants to know, is Megan Field, and she's at the APCD. And I suggested that she speak at a chamber meeting. So we went through my meetings, and then San Luis Obispo Council of Governments is meeting Wednesday, and so is the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. So I'll talk about that on our meeting at the 17th. And the Air Pollution Control District did meet last week, and I do have a little report for that, which I handed out, and there are some out on the table back there for the public if anybody from the public wants to get one. I was invited at about 11 o'clock on Monday night to meet with Will Harris, who's the senior engineering geologist of the California Geographical Survey, which is under the California State Department of Conservation. They're independent of state parks, but they are helping with parks work to reduce the sand blowing onto the mesa. And I got a tour with him and an update on my understanding of what happens when sand blows. And that was really, it was helpful. It was helpful to go over it because it's a lot of complex information. And I also, the other thing that he did that has been done out there in the dunes, and I didn't see it, but State Parks now has 22 mobile monitors out in the dunes, and that's the mobile monitors study wind direction, particulate, and humidity, and they've invested about $550,000 in this one alone. They only have to have two per the dust rule, but they've got 22, and that was announced by Chris Conlon, who's the new deputy director of State Parks. He came to the APCD meeting and told us he was doing that, and they've agreed some new time frames also for getting things accomplished. And so that seems like a lot of forward momentum there. There is another rule. We had the dust rule, which proposes to fine $1,000 a day for when particulate reaches goes higher than state standards. But there's a new one coming up now, and that's going to be at least $50,000 a year for monitors. It could be double that. It could be even higher than that. Some better web presence and links. You can sign up and get a little sticker for your window with Megan Field, and you can offer special promotions and discounts to people who take the train and join this low-car free program. And if you are an individual and you want a 20% discount on your Amtrak travel from Grover Beach, you also go to slowcarfree.org. And if you book your tickets through that website, and it's really easy to sign up. I had no problem with it. It took me about 2 minutes.
I've done it as well.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can go to slowcarfree.org and get 20% off your train travel in and out of Grover Beach. And finally, then, I had received, and I did attach it, I received an email communication from Supervisor Adam Hill in response to some questions I had on the APCD meeting agenda. So I've copied the email and the questions at the end of the committee report that I've handed out. And what I really wanted to do was just to make sure that it's clearly understood that I support the mission of the APCD, and their mission is to realize and preserve clean air for all, promote community and individual responsibility for air quality, and provide quality and cost-effective service. I just wanted to make sure there was no question that those things are really important to me. So I wanted to reiterate that. And that's all I had on that report. And then if there are no other reports, and I guess not, we'll go to city council member items. Were there any city council member items?
Well, I had a couple.
Great.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Tip-A-Cop dinner. I've got to say that, Jim and I have been to probably just about every restaurant in this county, and we were both saying that we probably had never received such good service. Wow. And I'm serious about that. They were so attentive. It was just great. Anyway, it was really a great time, and we certainly would attend again. So if it comes again to South County, we will be there. And then, of course, we had the first of the year, our garden tour, which was fabulous.
Yeah,
it just gets better every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's always my favorite activity. And it was just swell. I really enjoyed it. I know Debbie, I met her at, mm-hmm. we bumped into each other at one of the gardens, and it was really great. So I appreciate what you guys do for that, and I appreciate all of the folks that open up their homes and not only their gardens but their
Less bills, ready. Had an opportunity to read the editorial page of the newspaper and see that the sixth grade class of the Shell Beach Elementary seems to have done a class project of writing editorials. The first of which was by Jared Maslowski. Urging us to repave our roads, and so I thought that was a great.
We should invite him to a meeting.
And that's exactly why I'm mentioning this right now. I'd like him to come forward, and we'd like to talk further with him and bring his mom, who we won't. Chief, close your ears on this for a second. Apparently, she drives on the wrong side of 13th Street to avoid the potholes. So, I did want to invite him and his family down just to come down and continue the conversation, because I think at some point we're going to end up having a council item to talk about the roads. So, and then just two other brief items. I did get a chance to meet with Bessie Erler with regards to the People's Kitchen, and I know they're working on relocating their facilities or their activities because of the Shouts of Grace Church needing to relocate. And they don't have anything specific that I can announce at this time, but I think in the very near future they're going to have something coming forward with regards to that. And then the last item was just the grand jury update with regards to the communications and the latest one that was in Bob's Friday letter. So it sounds like we need to put that on the calendar for a date certain, and I'm sure Bob's got a timing for that on us.
The Madam Mayor, if I could, email communications item will be scheduled for the next meeting,
And if I'm not mistaken, and maybe the clerk can help me out with this, but the consolidation issue also needs to be done before the end of July, correct? So it would either go at this next meeting or the 15th of July.
And I'm planning, we have a mayor's lunch every month and our make a point of discussing issues that are countywide issues, and because whole varieties of dispatch and police and fire service were discussed, I've asked the mayors to weigh in on that too, just so we can get a broader input. Okay. Is that all for you?
I think that'll do it for me.
Okay, yeah. Anyone else? Nope. Okay, then we will move to the city manager's reports and comments.
Simply, Madam Mayor, members of the council, at our last meeting, we had some rec commission.
They're all available.
Oh, wow.
So, and...
great.
Tuesday or Wednesday of what? Of the week. Tuesday or Wednesday of the last week of June.
Wow, that's good.
If that's a preference for you.
I think it should be the 4th of July because it's Independence Day, and that's like a really big, 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 you know, exciting day.
Yeah, it is an exciting day.
It's all about...
probably not for the discussion of the Brown Act.
Well, what about the First Amendment? Okay. So we're talking about the last Tuesday or Wednesday of June.
I know I have a potential conflict on the 25th, be coming back from a conference that day. But the 26th.
Oh, the Tuesday or Wednesday, right, the 26th. Yeah, I could do that. We have an EVC meeting at 4 o'clock, so I wouldn't be able to get here till 6.
It but, should only yeah. take about 6.5 hours.
So. Oh, is that all? No problem.
Yep.
Well, I have your attention.
What's anybody else got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Tuesday, I do have a problem on Tuesday. I could probably work around it if I had to, but Wednesday would probably work better for me.
Anybody else got any feedback on that?
Either one works for me.
Councilmember Nichols?
As far as I know, I'm free.
Okay.
I don't have my calendar with me.
Okay. So it sounds like Wednesday is the day that is most likely.
At 6:30?
Yeah. That sounds good. I better write it in here then. And then the next thing on the agenda is the city attorney's reports and comments. You're supposed to waste a little time so I can write into my thing here. Thank you. In that case, then, we will be moving into closed session. We'll be recessing into closed session. City Attorney, did you want to announce the topics?
It is the intent of the City Council to meet in closed session on three items. First one is labor negotiations with all employee groups. And the other